Now, should a scientist ask these questions? Well, let me tell you that I'm not the first scientist to start asking these kinds of questions. The list includes people like Aristotle, Thomas Aquinas, and he had some scientific interest as well, you know, Isaac Newton. And of course, if we go back even farther in time, we find that the ancient Egyptians were thinking about the soul and perhaps a kind of scientific way. So we're not alone in this, we physicists of today, in thinking about this. And maybe we're not alone in even conceiving of a physics of the soul. In other words, a way in which the soul operates. Now, if you've been paying attention, and I think you have, to the first 7 sessions we've had here, you know that this is all about quantum physics. So you know that lurking behind every word I'm saying is a little quantum physicist saying, tell them about the quantum physics! Tell them about the quantum physics! So let me say a little bit about that. The quantum physics says that there's this realm of existence, this realm of being, out of which everything that we call the material universe, including space and time and matter and energy and all that stuff, arose. And that realm is really necessary for us to understand the physical world. What I'm going to tell you now is that realm and the spiritual realm are not so far apart. In fact, they may be the same thing. So what we're going to be talking about then is, can we use our knowledge of this realm, which arises in quantum physics, this knowledge of this realm in quantum physics, to talk about the mystery of the soul, the mystery of spirit, and maybe even the mystery of God? Well, there are a lot of mysteries to the soul. For example, maybe there is a soul. Maybe it comes into being when I'm born. Or maybe it came into being when the sperm hit the egg. Or maybe it came into being 3 months after that period. Or maybe it came into being at another period of time. Ancient Aboriginal people say that when a pregnant woman walks out into the outback and feels the first sense of life in her belly when the baby kicks or moves an arm or something like that, she believes that the spirit of the land at that point has entered her body and caused that life to appear. And she believes that's when the soul of the land has entered her. Not before, but at that moment. From that point on, she's carrying a soul. Okay? But when does the soul actually appear? Some scientists, like, for example, Francis Crick, believes that our souls are nothing more than our bodies. And Aristotle also thought the same thing. The soul is nothing more than the body. On the other hand, Aristotle's teacher Plato didn't think that at all. He thought there was another realm of existence beyond the realm of the material world, called an ideal reality, and he believed that's where the soul comes from. And in fact, what he thought and what he said was the soul gets confused when it comes into this reality. And what Plato actually said was, the soul is like an eye. When resting upon that on which truth and being shine, the soul perceives and understands and is radiant with intelligence. But when turned toward the twilight of becoming and perishing, then she has opinion only and goes blinking about and is first of one opinion and then of another and seems to have no intelligence. What is Plato talking about? What is Aristotle talking about? What is Francis Crick talking about? Let's look at what is meant by the term soul for a moment. The word soul arises from the German word Seele. According to feminist author Barbara Walker, the word originally arose as a feminine noun, hence it's Die Seele or Seele, and was used by mystics like Meister Eckhart and Goethe in the same sense as Shakti in India, meaning the ultimate feminine reality. Many of the ancient words for soul were also feminine. These include psyche, pneuma, anima, and alma. God's souls were goddesses such as Kore, Sophia, Metis, Sapientia, and Juno. Ancients believed that every human had a feminine soul derived from the mother goddess through the earthly mother. You know, that's an interesting thought because science has shown that we all begin life as females. Did you know that? Did you know that all fetuses begin life as females and that male genitalia develop later during gestation? And if we consider certain aspects of ancient Egyptian and Hebrew mystical sources, such as, for example, the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the Kabbalah, we find that the femininity of the soul has much to do with what is called the feminine principle of structure and creation. Thus, the soul's femininity is connected to the feminine principle of magic and creation. There's another sense of the word soul, and that was brought out by a famous Indian poet whose name is Rabindranath Tagore. He once wrote, "That which oppresses me, is it my soul trying to come out in the open, or the soul of the world knocking at my heart for its entrance?" So here we have two different ideas of soul. One is a personal one, coming into being, a feminine one, and the other is a bigger one, a world soul concept.